Hi, this is Seth Kahn, author of FreelanceFortune.com, the website dedicated to helping free agents succeed in the marketplace. In this interview, I speak with Amanda Sottile, a world-class consultant and inductee into Allen Weiss's Million Dollar Consultant Hall of Fame. Amanda helps companies define winning strategies and figure out how to put the organizational capability in place to move reliably on achieving success. She is well known for enabling clients to align individual objectives in support of corporate strategic goals. Prior to being an independent consultant, Amanda worked with McKinsey & Company. Before that, she was an engineer with Kimberly-Clark. In this interview, Amanda talks about making the transition from a large consulting firm to working on her own, the investment organizations make in consultants, and why it is such a great return for the company, helping clients articulate metrics, face facts, and achieve gains, and the importance of making the client the star. And now, here's my conversation with Amanda.
I've been in the consulting business for over 10 years on my own, and probably over 15 or 20 years if you count the time that I was with McKinsey & Company. And my focus is on helping companies define winning strategies and figure out how to put the organizational capability in place to be able to deliver reliably on what they're setting out to do.
Is that how you started out? Was that what you did in the beginning?
Well, I actually started out as an engineer for Kimberly-Clark Corporation, first in research and then working in a plant. And some of the things that I was focused on there have really kind of been a thread that have carried throughout my career. And those are things like, you know, working as a cross-functional team to allocate resources to the biggest priorities, understanding customer needs very, very well, and developing new products and services to meet those, and your basic just motivating and managing employees. So those kinds of threads have really carried throughout, and of course I've evolved and I've really benefited from being an independent consultant in that I can kind of tailor my business to what's the most thrilling and exciting to me at that particular time. And that keeps me fresh and involved and very excited about what I'm doing for clients, which is good for everybody.
Now, in the middle there, you were with McKinsey, is that right?
That's right.
And how was it for you making the transition out of McKinsey to being on your own?
Well, a lot of things came together at the same time that I think made it an easy transition. I had already gained a lot of skills at McKinsey, and it's just an amazing place to learn how to be a consultant, and you work with incredible people. So the good things that came out of that were the skills and the relationships, because frankly, people who used to work for McKinsey and are now working in corporations are a pretty big market for me. But also, the other thing that was kind of a happy circumstance, I think, is the fact that information became so much more easy to get at. right about the time that I left McKinsey, the internet was really taking off, and there's lots of information out there. There's lots of freelancers that I can tap into to be able to add to the engagements and add to the value that I can bring to clients. And it's been really actually a very easy transition. I think I can offer more value to clients now than I could when I was working within a big firm in many ways.
And that was in 1998 that you made that transition, is that right?
Not exactly. My husband and I moved to Malaysia, Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, in early 94, and we were there 4 years, during which time I was with McKinsey for a while and then working for an internet startup for a while. And when I came back to the States, I formally started Sottile & Associates.
I see.
Which was in 98.
Okay. And you talked about the transition and how working with McKinsey made it easy for you to move into the marketplace. What kind of challenges did you face in terms of being out on your own? Were there any?
Well, I think the big firms have an advantage for certain types of projects. I think that if you're a very global company and you need access to on-the-ground resources who are intimately familiar with markets all over the world, a big firm has a lot of added value for you, and I think that would be a really good choice. At the same time, I think that they can specialize in certain things and be, you know, really experts and know a lot about certain industries by serving many different companies within those industries. I tend to never serve two companies within the same industry because I don't work for competitors of each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so to some extent, I'm a very good generalist. I'm able to bring a process and a way of thinking to a company that allows them to get a lot more out of the knowledge and capabilities that they have in-house.
Mm-hmm. So that's one of the advantages that you bring as an independent consultant. What are some of the other advantages? I'm just wondering, when people come to independent consultants and they're weighing whether they should go with an independent versus a large company, what are some of the things that you share with them?
Well, I think one of the biggest things is what you see is what you get. The person that's sitting across the table from you, thoroughly understanding what your needs are and how the consulting effort is going to aid in getting you where you want to go, is the same person that's going to be there with you every day and in every meeting and talking with your people and coaching your folks who are doing the analysis and all of that sort of thing. So there's kind of the extreme version of a single point of contact.
Right. single point of everything.
And as a result, I think you get a more experienced person who's really able to span your organization in many ways. In a big firm environment, the people who are dealing with your lower-level people may be different than the people who are talking to the CEO.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons that people need consultants is because the CEO is often very out of touch with what's happening at the front line.
Mm.
And if they're out of touch with their own front line, then they're really out of touch with what's happening to the customer.
Mm-hmm.
And so coming in as a small firm, we're able to work easily with people in all functions and at all levels to be very focused on solving a specific problem and coming up with a unique and creative solution that'll best meet the client's needs.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. One of the questions I have is about the growth of your own organization. In terms of your client load and in terms of the number of projects you take on, has it been a steady state for you from the beginning? Has it been a strong up curve? Have there been lumps in it or dips? Or how would you describe the last, 12 years?
It's very lumpy, actually.
Uh-huh.
I have to admit that, my caseload does go up and down. But the trick is, I think, to have enough things in the works that you're always have something that you're really excited about and something that you're working toward with a client. My business has grown, but it's grown more in terms of how I add value than necessarily how much time I'm putting in.
Uh-huh.
So I think that now I'm able to serve, I don't actually have that many clients each year. I really like to focus on three or four clients and do a very, very good job for a limited number of clients each year. And so I'm still able to offer that very concentrated value to a few clients, and they're usually, repeat clients year after year. So it works very well for me and I think for clients.
And tell me about that transition or transformation where you said that you really were able to change the amount of value that you were providing. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, I used to price by the day or by the hour, and I was totally embedded at one client at a time. So I would kind of move in.
Uh-huh.
And I would be at their beck and call and really working exclusively for one client at a time. It was okay, but I think it wasn't a very efficient way of working.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'll be working on two or maybe even three things at a time, and I'll be very focused on achieving very specific metrics with the client.
Mm.
So we will move as fast as we possibly can to get them the results that they want. And as a result, when they're working with us, they don't have a meter running or a clock ticking in their head running up the dollars, because we agree on a price up front and we both agree that the project is worth that amount, and then we just do whatever it takes to get the work done.
So by removing your focus from time, you actually become much more efficient.
Much more efficient for me, and also much more efficient for the client. Because, for instance, there may be a piece of analysis that was sort of a nice to have,
mm-hmm.
that we might have pursued under the old model, the hourly rate model, not in any nefarious way or trying to take advantage of the client, but just because you were there and you were there all day or all week and you tended to think of more things to do.
Uh-huh.
Now we're much more focused on truncating lines of thought that aren't going to really change the answer, for instance, and putting more time into things that really need to be very well understood in order to go the right direction.
Hmm. When you went through that transformation from an hourly to a value-based focus, what was that like? Was it challenging? Was it difficult? Was it like flipping a switch? What?
It was like flipping a switch. It was extremely easy. Now, I'll tell you, I do spend a lot more time on proposals now than I used to because I need to understand very, very well exactly what it is that the client wants to achieve and how we're going to measure success for the project. So that's one of the things that I always ask the client at the outset is, now let's say that we flash forward to 3 months from now and we're concluding this project with a meeting on April 25th when your board is going to be meeting, what would you consider to be just a fantastic outcome and how would you describe what would be happening in that meeting? So by getting the client to kind of fantasize mm-hmm. about that outcome and what they would like to see from the engagement, we're both working toward the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, 3 or 4 weeks from now when I'm asking them for one of their best resources to use for a week on a certain piece of analysis, they're seeing that carrot at the end as well, thinking, yeah, she understands exactly what I want, and this is going to be worth it. It's going to be worth taking this analytical resource off of something else that they were doing and lending it to this engagement.
Mm. And tell me also about the proposal aspect. You said you spend also a lot more time on that now.
We do. We spend a lot of time really understanding the specific situation that this client's in and very specifically what their objectives are. We really try to understand how they see the value of the project, and it's not always the obvious things. I mean, many times you think of the kind of straightforward aspects of value like enhanced profit and things, but sometimes it's a little more nuanced than that, like the ability to establish a new competitive position in a market or the ability to get two different functions to work together better than they previously had, the ability to win a particular, customer segment that they've had trouble penetrating in the past. Whatever it is, we try to be as specific as possible about what the objectives are and why that's going to be valuable and be as quantifiable as we can.
Mm-hmm. So when you talk about taking more time with the proposal, you're talking about interacting with the client around the ingredients of the proposal. Is that right?
Right.
Yeah. So you sounds like you have a dedicated session where you really get into that.
Or several. Yeah.
So tell me a little about that, just about the process. You come back several times just to make sure that you're on track and to refine things?
I may or may not. If it's very straightforward, you could conceivably even fully understand their needs in 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing can also happen where it's a little bit more iterative, where their thinking evolves as well. Because many times the type of problems that we attack are things that may have been troubling them for years and they haven't been able to fix them.
Mm.
And so in the first conversation, they're kind of giving you a lot of context, like, well, we tried this, and it didn't work, and then we tried that, and we thought it was going to work, but it didn't. And, they're kind of giving you a lot of background of how they've struggled with this issue for a long, long time. If you come back to them after that discussion and say, I think that really if we hone in on these three issues, we're going to get closer to the right answer. And they say, you know what? The first issue is exactly right. The second one is way off base, let's just throw that out, and the third one is important, but we can defer it for 6 months. Then you've really narrowed it down, and they've had a chance to kind of put their best thinking into a more organized and structured framework
mm-hmm.
so that they can really articulate their needs much better in the second session than they might have been able to in the first.
Well, it sounds like that's really one of your strengths, is to go through that proposal and through the objectives, measure, and value portion of the...
Yeah, and clients really appreciate that because to them it feels like you're helping solve the problem before you've even started charging them any money.
Mm.
And that you've really narrowed down on what the issue is that needs to be solved so that it feels like a very efficient process from their perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Because the investment that they make in paying us is really not that much at all compared to the investment they make in, first, dedicating their resources to spending time on the project, their top management being in a room, their people being interviewed, their analytical resources looking for the right data and doing the analysis that might be necessary. All of that is a bigger investment than what they would pay to us in fees. And then third, even bigger than that, is the fact that they're going to be placing a major bet on changing the way they run their organization or changing the markets they're going after or the products that they're going to be working on developing. Or they may even be making a choice to de-resource a certain area of their business. You know, oftentimes we'll uncover things that have been kind of, you know, ongoing sources of leakage of value in the company that need to be either fixed, you know, sold or closed.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't like to make those decisions because they have emotional ties to those parts of the business often. But we can help them face up to the facts and say, look, you know, really this is a very logical thing to do. And by stopping doing a lot of stuff, you can put more resources and more focus on the stuff that's really important and make a lot more, get a lot farther and faster towards your real goals.
Mm-hmm. I have just a couple more questions for you. This has been really helpful. One is that some of the folks who are going to be listening to this are people who are either considering becoming independent consultants or who have a desire to increase their effectiveness as independent consultants. What kind of recommendations would you make based on your own trials and experience in terms of what someone can do to improve their effectiveness as a consultant?
Well, one of the things that I learned early on, even when I was with McKinsey, and I've even accentuated it more now, is you really need to make the client the star. You know, this isn't about us, the consultant. It's about helping the client get where they want to go. And so I don't need to get credit for their success. I don't need to be in the limelight. I need them to be moving as far and fast as they can. So that's really been kind of something that I think has enabled us to be pretty successful. The second thing is just the whole thing about understanding the objectives, measures, and value, and really agreeing on metrics at the outset in their terms. Whatever, you know, and all. Sometimes they don't even aren't even able to articulate those metrics until we bring some new thoughts to them from how is Wall Street looking at you? How are customers looking at you? How are your prospective employees that you're trying to hire looking at you? And kind of helping them formulate the metrics that would be appropriate for the particular project.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. The other question is also, it might happen that someone is listening to this who would like to contact you and hire you as a consultant. How should someone reach you?
I can be reached at www.sotili.com, which is S as in Sam, ETILI.com. And the phone number is on the site, so come to Sotili.com, and there's lots more that you can learn there about how we work and who our clients are and how we add value, and you might find it a rich experience to visit the site.
That's great. Thank you very much for your time today, Amanda. It's greatly appreciated.
Thanks very much, Seth.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.